of medicinal cannabis. This is something that we've touched on many's a time on the programme in the past. We've indeed had the issue of medicinal cannabis. We've talked about it here on the programme, and we have to some extent had the debate raging, and not all of you fully understand it, because you feel that, oh my goodness me, there must be some promotion of cannabis. This is not necessarily the point that's been made. Let me speak to Pierce Donnelly from the United Patients Alliance. Good morning, Pierce.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Pierce. Now, this relates back to Charlotte Caldwell and young Billy, who were on this programme many times over the last year and a half or so. And Charlotte and Billy were across in California. Billy made great progress. He eventually got the medicinal cannabis prescribed to him here, and he is making progress. He's your poster boy for this campaign. Tell us about it.
Okay, right. So this campaign that's being run at the moment is basically in support of Paul Flynn, who's making an announcement today in Westminster. He's basically announcing a new 10-minute bill to legalise access to medicinal cannabis. So the whole campaign and what's surrounding the protest today is in support of that, basically. And Charlotte and Billy, of course, are going to come along and support that, because he is one of the most well-known patients in Northern Ireland.
So is this medicinal cannabis right across the UK that you want to see available via all GPs?
Yes, absolutely. The UPA, however, would also advocate a grow-your-own model, so to be able to grow your own medicine, just like you would grow your own vegetables or brew your own beer or anything like that, you know what I mean?
So this is where it then falls down, the argument, because people will say this is the thin end of the wedge for growing cannabis for reasons other than medicinal.
Yes, I'm sure plenty of people would make that connection, you know. It's very easy to make that connection, especially when people don't understand how it's regulated as well.
But the call in London today is for medicinal cannabis being fully legalised and being available via the GP. The call in Westminster today isn't for the growing of it in your own greenhouse.
Well, it would be calling for legalisation of medicinal cannabis, but the UPA, this is just ourselves, you know, we would advocate the grow-your-own model. Now, that's not necessarily to say Paul Flynn is asking for that. You know, we just as an organisation would advocate that, but also advocate the availability through a GP and through pharmacies and such things.
And why would you feel that you would need to grow your own if it was available through the GP?
Well, the thing is, the NHS can't afford another medicine. It's quite simple. The NHS is broken as it is. There are so many people, there's literally hundreds of people right now, Frank, treating themselves with their own medical cannabis and no longer taking prescription medication. And that's why we would advocate the grow-your-own model, because you can control then your own intake, and you can control your own medicine and use it to suit your own needs.
But when we legalise medicinal cannabis through a GP, the element of the cannabis that gives the high is removed from it. I'm right on this, yes?
The element that gives the high is removed from it when you have what we have now is known as CBD or CBD oil. So most CBD oil, there's no THC in it, so because THC is what gets you high. So we don't have that right now, but THC also has medicinal properties, you know, and this is what's up for debate at the moment, is the fact that it's not just CBD we're after. We need the full spectrum of cannabinoids and related compounds in order to treat certain ailments.
Okay, so just clear this up for me and for people listening to the program. What's being called for at a political level is the legalization of medicinal cannabis that doesn't give any high, right?
Well, what Paul Flynn's calling for is the legalization of medicinal cannabis. Now, that covers all cannabis. That's not just one compound within the cannabis plant. Because within the cannabis plant, there are at least 90 active compounds, you know? So what Paul Flynn's calling for is the legalization of medicinal cannabis, not medicinal CBD oil or non-psychoactive cannabis compounds.
Okay, so,
you know what I mean?
So people who would take what Paul Flynn's calling for, who don't need to take it, would get a high.
Sorry, say that again. I didn't understand the way you worded it.
Right, I'm trying to get an understanding on the issue of cannabis and the difference between it giving someone a high, being used as a recreational drug, and being used as a cure for some very serious illnesses. Now, let me ask the question almost as an ignoramus here.
Go for it.
If the politician gets what he's calling for, would we be in a situation where someone could have the medicinal cannabis prescribed to them and could be using it for the benefit of their health and to improve their condition, and someone else in their family could use it simply for a high? Will the high be in the medicine?
Much like cocodamol and fentanyl and oxycodone and any morphine-based drugs or any opioids, yes, that would be a possible scenario. But that's not to say that's why he's looking it to be legalized.
Of course, I know why he's looking for it to be legalized, why you're looking for it to be legalized, because there seems to be a very strong argument that it does help with ailments. But there's also a serious concern that it would be a backdoor to legalizing cannabis as a drug for recreational use. And certainly you growing yours at home would suggest that that alternative would exist.
Well, it already exists. People are already doing it, Frank, and this is the problem. The people are already doing it in order to feel well, and they're being criminalized because of it.
Yes, but that's...
So people are being thrown in prison every single day, Frank, because they're being criminalized for growing a plant.
Yeah, but Pierce, the vast majority of people who use cannabis are not using it to beat off the ailments,
right,
the ailments of a disability. They're using it to get a high.
Yeah, though. That is people who use recreationally, Frank, but that's not the issue here. We're talking about medical use of cannabis, right?
Yeah, but do you understand that there has to be a safeguard to ensure that there isn't
there
a backdoor to recreational use?
Of course there does, Frank, and I'm sure that Paul Flynn has an airtight bill. I haven't read it myself, but we're going to hear it today at about 12:30. So, you know, he's probably got all this set in place, and that's why it has to be brought to light in government as well, so that we can safeguard it, so we can make it safer. The biggest problem we have now is we cannot stem youth access to the drug. That's one of the biggest problems we have on the street at the minute. And if it's legalized medicinally, you know, we can get access to medicine. People can grow their own, you know, if they want. You know, but that's not obviously what Paul Flynn's looking to advocate.
Of course.
In his bill, that's just what we would advocate.
Yes.
However,
this
is another thing as well, Frank. There is a very fine line between, well, I would argue that there is, between medical and recreational use, because what if I enjoyed taking my medicine? What if my medicine made me feel better? If it made me feel good about myself, made me feel healthier, and I looked forward to taking it, is that recreational use? If it made me feel more relaxed and calm, is that recreational use or is that medical use? Because I use myself, you know, to cope with anxiety and symptoms of depression. And my medicine makes me feel really good. I make you feel good about myself, and I use it every day. So where is the line there?
But
is it recreational or medical?
Yes, but the evidence also shows if you take cannabis, you can become paranoid, you can become depressed, you can become ill, you can become hooked on other drugs.
That's not true, Frank. It's just not misinformation. That's simply not true. If you have a predisposition to a mental health issue and you take any form of drug, be that cocaine, cannabis, coffee, sugar, anything, it's going to affect your mental health. It's going to have an effect on you because of psychoactive drugs. You know what I mean? So, like, cannabis doesn't cause paranoia. It can exacerbate it if you have a predisposition to it, but then you just don't use cannabis. It's not the plant's fault. That's down to the person.
Do you accept it's addictive?
No, I do not accept that.
Do you accept it changes people's personality?
I do not accept that.
Do you accept that it makes people more sexually promiscuous than if they weren't taking it?
Oh, Frank, like, this is Victorian stuff you're talking here. You know, like, we have gone beyond these illusions of cannabis. Like, it's not true. It just simply isn't. People understand it now. We live in an age of information, and we've been lied to for so long about a plant. You know what I mean? For various reasons, you know, we could name a million right now, but they're fables. They're not true. Cannabis doesn't make you more sexually active. It doesn't make you more paranoid. It's not true. That's down to the person, you know. And if the drug doesn't mix well with them, they don't take the drug. But that's recreational use we're talking. we're talking today about medical use of cannabis. Children like Billy, like Ava Barry, like Tristan Callahan, all Irish children who otherwise may have been dead, God forbid I say that, if it hadn't been for cannabis. That's what we're talking about today.
There will be people who will say that you're using their conditions as an excuse to legalise cannabis, and that's where your argument weakens.
They can say that if they want, you know, but we're still going to do what we do, and we're still going to try and get medical cannabis legalised, because me, myself, and a lot of people I know use it on a medicinal basis, and I'm sick of, personally, I'm sick of walking around looking over my shoulder and feeling like a criminal. It's not right, Frank, it's just not right.
Do you think if we were back in the era that they discovered tobacco or that they first distilled alcohol, that it would be licensed, that it would be made legal, those two addictive substances that have caused so much death and destruction down the years, do you think they'd be licensed today? So why should we license? Why should we license something like cannabis that can be every bit as dangerous as alcohol and tobacco?
Well, we're talking about medicine here, Frank. We're not talking about a dangerous drug. This is the point I'm trying to make. We're talking about medical cannabis. You know, cannabis that has been proven to be effective on a medicinal basis. It saves lives. It has saved lives. You know, we're not talking about alcohol. Alcohol kills thousands of people a year in the UK alone. Cannabis has never killed anyone. You know?
Well, Pierce, there's an argument that I'm sure would rage forever. Cannabis has never killed anyone. As I say,
The effects of prohibition of cannabis have killed many people, but the cannabis itself has never killed one single person, not the use of it.
Listen, I'll throw it out to the people who are listening to the programme. Your arguments are very strong, but are they valid? That's the question that I'll throw out there.
Yes.
to the audience. And is Pierce really backing the medical element of cannabis simply as a backdoor to legalise cannabis generally? And would you be happy with people actually growing their own cannabis for medicinal purposes, or are we being fooled? Pierce, you've made some very good points. We'll see what people think. Thank you.
No problem, Frank. All the best.
Thank you. Pierce Donnelly, he's from United Patients Alliance. And, of course, he's referring to this issue across the water where there is a demand for the legalisation of medicinal cannabis because it has helped many people. But does it need to be strictly controlled that it's not going to be an abused drug? Your opinions on it, 90333105, 90333105. Let's hear what Gareth has to say. Good morning, Gareth.
How's it going, Frank? Listen, I'm actually the guy that put the event together up in Stormont. I'm the one that sort of put it all together on Facebook, and then that's where it grew from, and then I eventually got the support of the UPA, and it's pretty much blown up. But the things that I would have to say on the subject would differ from what Pierce would say. And
yes, go ahead, Gareth. Make your point.
Sorry, I wasn't sure there. I would slightly differ from his, because whereas Pierce would say he'd be happy for people to grow their own, I would have an argument with that. But the beauty about this entire subject is where I'm coming from is purely a centre ground, okay? I suffer from multiple sclerosis, and I use cannabis now. I don't use it every day, but it's usually every other day or as needed, okay? Now, I need the THC in mind because it helps with the uncontrollable spasms that I get in my legs, because that would go on for me during the night.
Just remind us about the THC. Is this the addictive bit?
Right. Whenever you use the word addictive,
The high. The high is the word I should use.
Yes, it does have... The THC is the high, okay? Now, for somebody like myself, say I was in America or Amsterdam, I would be looking for something with maybe a 14 to 18% THC content. Now, that sounds awfully high, but there are certain strains of cannabis which I would take that I wouldn't feel a high off.
Okay, I want you to hold there, Gareth. Okay, I want you just to stay with me on this, because I want to get a clear understanding of the different grades, and you can explain it after this.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, here for you.
Okay, Gareth, who has multiple sclerosis, is talking me through the different levels of the high you get with cannabis. when it's been used for medicinal purposes. Go ahead, Gareth.
Basically, what I was trying to say, Frank, was that there's a real middle ground which we all need to start from. Everybody on this subject, either for or against, has their own views. Now, me personally, I ask myself this question and other people out there this question. Do you believe in fact-based scientific medicine? Because if you do, the consensus around medicinal cannabis being made a medicine is overwhelming. There's the doctors, the neurologists, they're all in favour of it. Now, with that, with being in favour of it, they also have worries and concerns, which is some of the things that you brought up, which would be, is it addictive? I personally, I don't believe that it's physically addictive. I believe that if you're on it over a long, long period of time, over many years, it can become psychologically addictive, where you just can't do without it. Now, that's not the same as somebody who's an alcoholic or somebody who smokes cigarettes. But the benefits outweigh the negatives for people like me, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, but does it give you a high? This is the bit. I'm more concerned about it giving people a high where they are seeking it out to be spaced as opposed to living in the real world.
Then I'll give you an honest answer, and that's very simple. For me personally, if I have the right strain, you get a slightly euphoric feeling for about 10-15 minutes. That's it. And when I say euphoric, I just mean I'm just happy. That's it. There's nothing. It's no different than whenever every day I have to take my 60 milligrams of glucosamol every 4 hours. Now, whenever you take those tablets, you feel a euphoric high. You feel like your blood pressure is dropping. Like you don't know how to speak to people. You become confused. Now you add diazepam on top of that, and then gabapentin on top of that. And I spend my day spaced out on pharmaceutical drugs. Now, thanks to cannabis, I have been able to stay away from codeine. I have been able to cut down on baclofen, which is another muscle relaxant for multiple sclerosis. But again, everybody has different opinions on this. But the center ground opinion is that it should be used for medicinal purposes. Now, while that's the center ground position, it really just means then from that point it needs to be handed over to the clinicians, to the government, for them to look at the evidence and decide from that point on what should be done, what the implementation should be put in behind it to safeguard people.
And do you at the moment get yours illegally?
Yes, I get mine illegally.
And this is part of the problem. You do not want to be breaking the law.
Now, see, this is the real problem I have. Now, you think about this, Frank, and I want everybody else to think about this. The MS Society came out and said that cannabis can help 1 in 10 sufferers across the UK, okay? Now, that equates to about 10,000 people. Now, in Northern Ireland, that equates to 400 people because there's 4,000 sufferers here. Now, if each one of those sufferers is buying an ounce of cannabis illegally from a dealer every month for their illness, that equates to £3,600 per year. Now, you add that up over the 400, that's £1.2 million that's going to gangs on the street. And that's just in Northern Ireland alone, from 400 MS sufferers. You know, that in itself, it should speak volumes to people. Because I'm one of the people that turns around, I would like it something similar to America and Canada, where you would be given a prescription and you could go and you would pay for your cannabis off the NHS. So then that money can be recycled back into the NHS again. Because with me having MS, they're making drastic cuts to the disease-modifying drugs for multiple sclerosis in Northern Ireland. So I would love to see people like me benefit from cannabis, but the money that I pay for it from the NHS is recycled back in to those that are suffering, that are starting off in their suffrage of multiple sclerosis.
And unlike the United Patients Alliance representative Pierce, who was on a few moments ago, you're not interested in growing your own in the greenhouse.
No, I'm not interested in growing my own. But the thing you have to remember is there are people out there that would disagree with me whenever I say I'm willing to buy it off the NHS, like it is in America and Canada. they would very much disagree with that, because they believe if you're handed a prescription from your doctor, you should be able to get that for free. But if that was the case, it would potentially, not saying it would, but it could potentially harm the health service because of the real kick that it would get from it. But if people were to pay a certain amount, just like the other models, then we stand a good chance. But again, as I say, the centre ground from all of us to start from is that cannabis is seen by the clinicians as a medicine, and we should push forward in whatever guise it takes. We should push forward to have cannabis legalised. Okay. Cannabis legalised, medicinal, sorry.
Yeah, medicinal cannabis legalised. Gareth, a very good pitch. Thank you. Gareth Tough there, one of the organisers of today's event. There's a protest up at an awareness campaign up at Stormont. 90-333-105. Who are you most convinced by there? Pierce, who'd like to grow it at home and needs it as well for medicinal purposes, or Gareth, who wants to buy it via the pharmacy? Chris has a point. Good morning, Chris.
Hello, how's it going?
Very good, Chris.
You'll have to excuse me. I didn't plan on ringing in, so I'm a little bit nervous. I've never been on the radio. But I just wanted to say that you talk about your concern with people getting high, and I understand that. I've never taken illegal cannabis in my life, but I've been really helped with the legal version that's available at the minute. But I do feel that people need to kind of, like, pull their heads out of the sand and realise that the most damage that's being done is by the pharmaceutical drugs that are being given out by GPs. So if you really want to look at people getting high and messing their bodies up and messing their lives up, you really need to reassess what people are being given, because prescription medication did, in my opinion, ruin my life. And the legal form of cannabis is starting to help me come back to normal, and I've got my life back. I've got so much more motivation. I've lost pains and aches that I was having for years. Just everything about my body, it's starting to heal, and that's not even the illegal form. So if there's people dying with horrible diseases, like, how have we any right to take a plant off them? You know, I just don't see the logic, because, like...
But are you on cannabis oil? Is that what you're using at the minute?
Yeah, I haven't used the illegal form, you know, but I have no doubt that when you start getting to a serious point of health, you know, like, it shouldn't even be questioned. Those people should be allowed cannabis. You know, like, it's been shown to reduce cancer cells like that, and it's been pushed away and demonized. That's shocking. And this is from somebody who's never used it. That's why I rung in. It's okay to chew down a load of prescription medications. It's okay to drink as many alcoholic drinks as you want, smoke as many cigarettes as you want. God knows everybody's fat because they're eating a load of junk. It's just shocking that the people are demonizing a plant that literally has not killed anyone. And I do understand, I have to say, there is people that will take the mick. If this became legal, people will just get it to get high. They'll let on, they're sick. I understand that. But they do it with everything else. There's people come in and they'll get, like, what, you know, like, all other kinds of things to abuse. You know what I mean? Like, in many formats. So, like, just think...
Yeah, Chris, I hear the point you're making. I'm going to have to go on it now. But just very briefly, you say, and you're not the first person to say, cannabis has never killed anyone. Cannabis can be a gateway drug to other drugs, and drugs have killed numerous people. If you're addicted to drugs, you're on a slippery slope.
Well, then say that to the GPs, because they're the biggest drug dealers there is.
Okay. Chris, thank you. And it's a strong argument, too. You know, these points are all relevant points.